This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and across the country on CBS Sports Network. Joining us right now, New York Jets left tackle and Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee for the Jets, Kelvin Beachum. Great win yesterday. Congratulations on that. Welcome to the show, Kelvin.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
So what was that like to, when you go through a big losing streak, and then you know what happened the last time you played the Bills, be able to go up there, come back, get that win with the rookie quarterback as well?
You know, it's exciting. It's a sigh of relief, first and foremost. But we owed them. You know, they came to our house and gave us a beatdown. So to go back up to their house and get a win in that fashion was special.
I don't think people realize this, but Kelvin Beachum is one of the most or top 20 tech-savvy athletes, or is considered to be one of those in all of professional sports. So you're very well-versed in a lot of different things that are going on in this world. You're not just a football player. You're not just an offensive lineman. You break all the stereotypes, everything about us, and that's why I love you so much. But here's the thing. You're in the huddle with Ben Roethlisberger, and you're in the huddle with Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Do you see any similarities with this young quarterback that you have, especially with the way that he played at the end of the game yesterday?
You know, he got ice in his veins. You know, I love the fact that he's calm, cool, and collected, and plays with poise at all times. To be that young, you know, sometimes you forget how young he is, but to play with that type of poise consistently, win or lose, you know, that's something you got to appreciate about him.
How does he communicate in the huddle?
He's doing better.
So he's getting better.
He's getting better. Right. You know, it's something that we still have to work on. By no means is he there yet. But just making sure you come into the huddle and speaking articulately where everybody can hear you. When we had that crowd noise, which it got kind of loud there in Buffalo, making sure that everybody hears you. When you're making a check at the line, making sure you're not only – tell the running backs that, but you also tell the offensive line, hey, we got a check coming, but you got to come and, you know, you got to talk to the whole offensive line. But he's getting better, and it's something that he's going to continue to work on. That's just, I think that's part of just being young. But I think he's getting better, and I'm really excited for his growth.
You know, I appreciate you being honest there, because the he's getting better means that he's not very good at it right now.
I wouldn't say that.
Maybe in the beginning of the year it was a little
tougher. It was a little tougher. You know, the thing is you know, even something as simple as the cadence, you know, as an offensive lineman, you want that cadence to just roll on through. You don't want a break red 80. Red 80, no, you need red 80, red 80, it's a hut. You want it to roll on off, and that's something that, you know, we talked through, and he's got, like I said, he's gotten better at it.
Yeah, young quarterbacks have a tendency not to realize all the things that they're doing and how they impact the guys they're playing with, especially the offensive tackles. We're going against great pass rushers like you have been week in and week out. I was talking to Kelvin Beachum. He is the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee for the New York Jets, so congratulations for that.
Yes, sir.
And I know you're big into STEM, right?
So, yes, sir.
And you have a camp, and you have a part of this whole thing where you are trying to impress upon young people how important it is for science, technology, engineering, and math.
Yes, sir.
Where did that come from?
You know, I think it really came from my childhood. You know, my grandfather has been blind since he was 19. He's now 92. He taught my dad how to work on cars. Which is crazy. My dad had to drop out of school in the eighth grade, and they both had worked on cars all their life. Now, if I told them every day that they do science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, they would look at me like I'm crazy.
Right.
So if I can impress upon young people to realize that some of the simple tasks in life are STEM-related, they can kind of turn that into what's going on in the economy right now. You talked about tech earlier. Tech is really changing the game for the economy right now. And if we don't have young people that are ready to step into these jobs, we're kind of shortchanging them. So for me, it's giving these kids an opportunity to realize, hey, here's your chance. Here's your chance at a career. Here's your chance at a job. Here's your chance at building financial stability and financial wealth for yourself. And here's the opportunity to do so.
You're also an investor in a venture capital fund?
Yes, sir. A couple. Next Play Capital, you know, which is kind of like the third iteration of what Ronnie Lott and Joe Montana and Harris Barton started way back when. And then some firms here in New York. And just starting to learn, you know, by no means an experienced investor, but leaning on those who do it every day and kind of learning from them.
Well, good for you. You're taking your platform and take it to a next level. There's no question about that. So let me ask you about one of your former teammates.
Yes, sir.
All right. So his name's Le'Veon Bell, right? A great running back for, well, I guess he's not playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Correct.
So take me through a little bit of, and I know you're still close with the offensive lineman out there in Pittsburgh.
Correct.
There was this whole thing about them questioning him, whether or not he's coming back or he is coming back, and they were worried about his money and all that stuff. I'd never really ever seen that before. Were you taken back by your former offensive lineman taking shots at Lev Bell or no?
You know, it was it's a complicated situation. You know, I got a love for all parties. You know, the offensive line, Le'Veon, you know, blocked with those guys for a number of years, have a lot of respect for Pouncey DeCastro, Big Al, Gilbert, and Big Ragu, as we know it, in Pittsburgh, Ramon. And then, you know, L. Bell, you know. But it was a tricky situation. You know, being on the outside looking in, I don't know all the dynamics that are going on currently. But it was hard to see both sides and see both sides of the coin.
Was Lev Bell a good teammate?
He's a great teammate. No doubt. He's a great teammate. When he's in the building, he's a great teammate. I can't speak to what happens outside the building, but when he's in the building, he works hard, brings it every day, plays his tail off when he has the opportunity to. So, you know, we'll see what happens from there.
Talking to Kelvin Beachum of the New York Jets, left tackle for them, Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. So if someone comes to you, because the Jets are one of those teams that's rumored to be in on Le'Veon Bell in the offseason, someone from the organization, hypothetically speaking, comes to you and says, all right, we need to know what type of guy Le'Veon Bell is. What type of report are you giving back?
He's a great dude. He's a great worker. You know, and at the end of the day, when you have a running back that can be a great worker and demand respect from his peers, meaning guys that have to respect him when he's on the field, you got to account for
but
a guy
Kelvin,
like that.
The Le'Veon that you played with is a different Le'Veon than we're seeing now.
See, that's what I'm saying. I can't, you know, and that's why I said it's a complicated situation. You know, I played with him in 2013, I think, 14 and 15. This is now going into 2019. You know, when I was there, he was a great teammate. So that's all I can speak on is my personal experience with him.
All right, Toby, can I ask Kelvin one thing?
Sure, of course.
All right, I want you to close your eyes.
Oh, God.
And I want you to listen to two impersonations that Gio does.
All right.
And I want you to tell me when he's done with both of these impersonations, number one, who they are, and number two, which is the better of the two impersonations.
Okay.
All right, so close your eyes. Now.
Got it.
All right, I can start with either one?
Either one.
All right.
Obviously, this loss is not mystical. Played a football game. They're going to make one more play than you do. So we're going to take a look at the tape. It's not a mystical thing. There's no unicorns out there. There's no garden gnomes that are turning into life. Globally, we're going to try to improve on some things and get a W next week. Questions?
All right, okay, that's one.
Nathan, we fought hard and we tried to win, but, you know, it didn't work out. Look, Sam's going to be fine. Sam's going to be okay. We just got to make sure that Sam plays because we want Sam to play.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, so first, who are those two impressions and who is the better of the two impressions?
First is Mike Tomlin. Second is Todd Bowles.
Yes.
He actually did Mike Tomlin a little better than he did Todd Bowles. I don't think Todd has a lisp.
Oh, you're not listening close enough.
I don't think he has a lisp by any means.
Right.
But you know, if I was a grader on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give him about a 5.5. Honestly.
All right. So here's the thing: you're in with both coaches. You know both coaches. You see them like we don't see them on
Correct.
The outside. Similarities, differences. Do you think Todd's getting an unfair shake publicly? How do you feel about that?
You know, I don't think people really know Todd personally to understand what type of guy he is. You know, when you get into the locker room and you see him on a day to day, he's poking fun at you like he's poking at a bear sometimes.
Right.
That's just him. But what you see in the media, what you see on TV, that's just not him. That's who he is, I guess, publicly, but inside, you know, the building, he's a great dude. He's a communicator. A lot of guys have respect for him within the locker room. You know, we haven't, I feel, as players delivered for him as much as we should have. And the record speaks, you know, for itself right now. But, you know, I don't think he's gotten the first shake. But at the end of the day, you know, we got to find a way as players to make his job a little easier.
So when you're in a building where you feel like there's a chance at change at that position, because that's just the reality of it, and he has this job, and it's his job till he doesn't have the job.
Right.
But you have to be totally disconnected to not understand there's a chance that there's some change. As a player, when you're walking into that building like that, how does that How does that approach, or how does your approach change when that's going on the outside?
You know what's going on the outside, but the thing is you have to focus on what's going on the inside. We still have 3 games left in the season. This is the last quarter of the season. This is December football. We got to find a way to get wins. He's still coming in every single team meeting, every single practice, and still demanding the best from us and holding us to that standard. So we don't have time to think about what's going on the outside. All we can do is control what we can control. And right now we got 3 games left. Got an AFC opponent coming in our house that's done pretty well this year. We have a chance to get another win at home. And that's all we can worry about. We can't worry about all the other things that are outside and what the media is saying outside of the building.
Yeah, it'd be interesting playing offensive line this weekend, right?
It's going to be great. It's going to be a great challenge.
Yeah, it will be a great challenge against the Houston Texans and J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and all those guys. But they do give up big plays in the secondary. We saw that yesterday against the Colts. So tell me a little bit more about you also fight hunger through you're trying to do with STEM and for inner city youth and things of that nature. What is that all about?
I've been doing that for a number of years, have worked a number of different angles at that, have done policy work in D.C. with Bread for the World, have worked with World Vision both domestically and internationally, fighting hunger both on the policy side and also food distributions here in America.
You're going to run for office someday?
No, I'm not. I don't do politics.
You sound like you do, no. But you know policy, you know what that's all about.
The thing is, sometimes you need to understand legislation that affects not only yourself but also the people around you. I think you just need to be socially aware of what's going on around you. And then I've worked with Feeding America. They're the leading organization that helps all the different food banks in the areas that I've worked in and been able to be in a number of different cities, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, came from the Texas area. So worked with North Texas Food Bank and the food bank that services my hometown. And it's just something that, I'm passionate about. Again, just finding a way to help those in need and using this platform that God has blessed me with to be able to bless others and give back.
You were saying that your grandpa and your dad worked on cars.
Yes, sir.
Now, are you like a car collector? Or do they collect cars? And if they
do? My thing is if you see me driving to the facility every day, you'll see a 96 Chevy Tahoe. That was the same Tahoe that I drove in high school. That was the same Tahoe that my family used when we were growing up in school. It's a little old, but it gets me from point A to point B. A couple weeks ago, it was a good rainstorm that came in, and it knocked a transmission wire that takes away my shift inside the car. So I actually had to get up under the car, show my dad exactly what was off. He told me what to do, put it back on. And my wife was like, hey, we got to get rid of this thing. now she doesn't drive that, nor do I let,
okay.
Nor okay. do I let my kids, okay. I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. Nor do I let my kids into that car. It's a 1-person car. I'm driving it. Nobody else drives it. My wife has a 17 Yukon.
But I figured Range Rover.
Oh, no, that's too expensive.
You should give that car to Robbie Anderson so he can't hit 130 miles an hour.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that. I'm like, Doc, when did this happen?
Oh, you don't pay attention to those things happening in the offseason?
Man, I go to Arizona and go train and spend time with the family. I try to stay away from
good for you,
you're a 7th round pick, and then you got a big deal going into the 2017 offseason, I believe. I mean, that's got to be one hell of an accomplishment, right? If you think about going from a 7th round draft pick, you're probably looking around at that draft, the guys that are around you and saying, this guy's out of league, that guy's out of league. Mm-hmm. And you worked your way up to a starter in Pittsburgh, and you hit free agency, you get a deal with the Jets, and you get another contract. I mean, that's something to really be proud of. Do you ever look at where you were drafted and what it means to be where you are?
I don't forget. 248. Don't forget that number. I don't forget that I was the last offensive lineman drafted in that class. That's something that is on my wall and something that I look at consistently and regularly because you never forget where you come from, but you also realize that there's still a long ways to go. And for me, at the end of the day, I want to find a way to continue to earn the respect of my peers around the league, to be a left tackle that people have to account for. So it's still work to be done, but something that I do think about quite a bit.
How do you say your hometown in Texas?
Mejia.
Mejia.
I know people from the north say Mexia.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's why I didn't say it. Where exactly is that located?
So it's about an hour and a half south of Dallas. If you know anything about Waco, where Chip and Joanna are, and Waco is starting to bud up.
Yeah.
I'm about 40 miles east of Waco.
All right. So, and
you were on that show, weren't you?
Yes, sir. I was on that show. Yeah. Great time with those guys. They're phenomenal people.
Yeah. Waco's starting to get a little bit better reputation these days.
They're rebuilding it, you know, one building at a time, it seems
like. Yeah, right.
And those two are building a single building.
Those are the two that are doing it.
By the way, when I see the houses that they're selling, like for $150,000, I'm like, what?
I know. Why are we going to Waco?
Exactly. up in New York, man, you get a lot down there in Texas.
Yeah. Forget I was going to say. So, why SMU? Did you get recruited by any of the other schools?
You know, got recruited by a number of D2 and junior college schools, Iowa State, which is up this way.
Yeah.
But honestly, my mama told me so. That was the first offer that we had. They told us if you don't, if we give you this offer, you can't go visit any other schools. And coming from ahead, we didn't know anything else, and we didn't know that you can actually go and visit other schools. So my mom saw that campus. We had a great tour there.
The campus is beautiful.
Yeah. You know, on the way home from Dallas, she was like, "Are you going to SMU?"
Who was your coach there?
So first it was Phil Bennett, who was a defense coordinator at Kansas State when they had, you know, their great runs. And then June Jones came in after that. And, you know, the first thing that June Jones said to me, he said, "You're going to be a first-round pick and you're going to play in the National Football League for a long time." I wasn't a first-round pick, but I think the latter part is actually working out pretty well.
Were you there with Emmanuel Sanders, too?
I was there with Emmanuel. I actually used to drive him to school. We used to driving a Crown Victoria together.
That's pretty cool.
On the way to school was really sad when I heard about the news the other day. You know his family was there when he got married to his wife Gabby. Wow. Know his son Prince. Actually played him in high school. We played high school basketball together. He was at Belleville. We actually knocked him out of the high school playoffs back in 2005.
You with the memory. That's awesome.
He's great. He's got it all on lockdown.
Yep, talking to Kelvin Beachum on The Fan. All right, so I'm not saying you're afraid of any defensive players, but if there's one guy who gives you the worst matchup, the one that might be keeping you up at night that you've played before, either still in the league or retired, who would that be?
You know, it really was James Harrison. James Harrison broke me in as a rookie when I got to Pittsburgh. You know, so had those battles a lot when I was there in Pittsburgh. And then when he went to Cincinnati for a year, actually had to play him in Cincinnati. And then last year when I was with the Jets, he was in New England to finish off his career.
He had like 45 years old. Still doing it.
Still doing it.
Amazing. You know.
Was he chirping you?
He wasn't. You know, the thing is we knew each other well. You know, for me, learning how to take care of my body, I learned it a lot from James. So knew both of his sons, James and Henry. So had a great relationship with him as a person. And to play him in the game, you know, understanding what type of person he was, knew that I had my work cut out for me. But, you know, I've played a number of great guys. Junior Gallette, who's not in the league right now, had a lot of trouble against him. Terrell Suggs, who I played a lot when he was in
Pittsburgh, and he was in Baltimore.
Yeah, when he was in Baltimore. Sure. Elvis Dumerville was another guy because they had, you know, both of those guys on the edges. And then just got a lot of respect for a number of guys. You know, Tom Bali, who just retired, you know, down there in Kansas City. So nobody that really, like, kept me up at night, but guys that, you know, you knew you had to bring your A game. Von Miller, Khalil Mack, who I've played against quite a bit.
You know, Kelvin, we hear a lot about how the game has changed from, you know, when I played back in the 90s and the 80s. I still think it's an extremely physical and fast game.
Correct.
A lot of new rules and all that other stuff. If somebody came to you and said, this is soft football compared to what it used to be like, what would your argument against that be?
You know, if you're still running the ball and you still get peeled back on, it's still a violent game.
Yeah.
When it starts to get a little cold outside and you're having to cut guys and, you know, you're finding a way to get a first down, your helmet is still hitting another guy's helmet. Now, it's not the game that you all used to play back then, and I know from a quarterback standpoint, I know you would love to play in a league where you're getting protected like you are.
Oh, heck yeah, I would.
Right
and
now.
And getting paid like this.
And getting paid like this. But, you know, it's still a violent game, you know, at the end of the day, and I think anybody who says that it's not, put a helmet on and come see what it's all about.
Well, I'll tell you, Kelvin, you are a great representative of the Jets, a great representative of the Walter Payton Man of the Year. We wish you nothing but the best. You can find Kelvin on Twitter at KelvinBeachum.com, and we wish you the very best.
Yes, sir. Thank you much.
Right. Kelvin, best of luck. And Jamal Adams, are there the last thing I want to ask you, because we have him on here every week, like in the locker room. Do you ever want to just tell him to shut up? Does he ever scream it at the top of his lungs? Like, be like, listen, kid, this is only the second year you've been in the league. Can you shut up for a second?
Man, he has a lot of energy. I got to give it to him. He has a lot of energy.
Seems like a great leader.
He's a great leader. He's a great leader. Still young, but he's a great leader. I'm excited for his growth, honestly.
Well, you see two young players, he and Sam Darnold. That's what this franchise is going to be built around.
Yeah. He's going to be around for a while. Both of them are.
Good. Good to hear that.
Kelvin Beachum, New York Jets left tackle on Boomer and Geo on The Fan, CBS Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.